Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And today's topic is very near and dear to my heart. And one of the reasons is because many years ago, when I began doing more alternative integrative medicine, started my own office, I had a handful of kids that came through the office, and these kids were different, and they were very sensitive. I wasn't really sure why they were so sensitive, but they're really sensitive to environmental triggers. And then fast forward, another 10 years, there was a young gal who I was treating who was definitely a challenge because she could see and hear ghosts and evil spirits, and I believed her, and everybody else in her family thought she was probably a little crazy, but I believed her, and I felt like, wow, there is a bunch of these young people that are super, super sensitive, and then I married one, So then I was like, okay, now what do I do? And so I've interviewed several different authors, Jason Lincoln Jeffers, The Next Human, author of Next Human, and I was so excited to come across a series of young adult books, called Through Indigo Eyes and Becoming Indigo, to the first two series in this book. And this is a woman who I'm interviewing today who has been through it herself. Tara Taylor is an internationally renowned intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, motivational speaker, and published author. I'm so excited to have her on the show today because she's been through it, grew up, in this new human. She'll describe for us, what does it mean to be indigo or indigo crystal. There's lots of different names for these new kids and adults that are like these super sensitive folks, and they're here to heal the world. And now I've come to that place where I've been guided by my spiritual guides and angels to be like the go-between, the mentor, the helper person. I'm not indigo myself, but I really respect, honor, and understand these young people. And I have several, older adults that are indigos as well who never felt like they fit in, and finally they've met someone that understands them, and I can really help them because a lot of them, if they don't know they're that sensitive, end up getting pretty sick and feel all alone. And so I'm here to help support them and to make them feel like, hey, you have a tribe. You have others that are just like you. You're not alone. And so it's been really exciting and rewarding work for me, and I know some of my indigo kids are listening in today as well, excited to hear from Tara. So today we're going to learn more about indigo kids from Tara, who's this awesome there. We're going to discover, how Tara found out about herself how she became, who she is today. She's also an expert in connections between the ego, emotions, and intuition. And so she's really helped and mentored thousands of adults and teenagers. She's featured internationally in newspapers, radio, television, has helped many people through her workshops and seminars. And you can actually find her, a fellow Canadian, at www.taratayler.ca. So, Tara, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Karen. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited you're here today. And maybe you can give us, for our audience today, an idea of, what was it like for you as a child, as a teen, and being different? Like, what did you have to go through, and was it easy, hard? Did you have guidance? Did you not? What was it like?
Oh, what a great question, and I love answering this. And it, you know, it's funny because typically, you know, indigos, as we would say, which is a term that which we'll come and talk to about later. We actually don't like to talk about ourselves, so it's quite funny that I know we try to avoid anything that has to do about talking about ourselves or, you know, lots of places with people, and, you know, because we're so sensitive that we pick up on things. But, you know, to kind of dial back a little bit. So when I was younger, I didn't think anything was different about me. It wasn't until about the age of 7 that I say my bubble got burst, where I was like, what do you mean? People don't see and talk to, you know, their papas that have passed away. Now, at that time, I didn't think anything, like I said, anything different. And, you know, I didn't understand the concept of death. I mean, I'm 7 years old, you know, and up to that point, my mom would tell me stories about I would just be in my room and I'd have these grand old conversations. And basically, you know, with no one else in the room. So, you know, I would start to say things over the time. You know, at the beginning, my parents thought, oh, she must be, you know, she's creative or she's, you know, she's dreaming or things like, yeah, right. And as around the time, like when 7 hit, was when I talk about the ego, and I'll come back, that's really when the ego starts to form in the personality of a person. That's when, you know, I started to realize or start to be frightened of it because I you know, I was beginning to be told it was wrong or different. You know, my parents ended up, you know, having me looked at and different doctors and things like this. And, you know, did I have, you know, issues which was mental or, you know, bipolar, split personality. I mean, those sort of things. I mean, all of it came back completely, you know, nope, she's fine. And I remember my general practitioner over the years had eventually said, you know what, you got this ESP thing, have a nice life. Like, and that's all she could say, right? And for American listeners, GP in Canada, it means general practitioner. So it's your doctor, your regular doctor that you go to. So, you know, the journey was more, you know, only till society told me or made me feel at the time that there was something wrong. And, of course, you know, it was just a concept of fear. But when you're young, you don't understand this. So then you feel like you're an outcast, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me growing up, you know, I remember having these moments that, you know, when you're little and you say, when I grow up and I become an adult, I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm going to have as many cookies as I want, or I'm going to do, you know, it's like we all have those moments, right? Remember that? It's like, I'm going to have like the whole box of Oreos, because you're only allowed.
Smarties for me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we all do that.
Yeah, and 2 pounds of Smarties.
Mine was Oreos. But, yeah, no, it was, you know, as I got older, you know, I remember, you know, thinking as a teen, things was like, you know, I watching what my parents had to go through, trying to figure out, you know, what was going on with me. And I was raised in an average, you know, middle-class family. You know, my mom was a nurse. My dad worked in the unions, and he was a mediator. You know, so it wasn't like we didn't really know much. It was just these things were happening. So it wasn't something we really discussed, not till I became a late teen, because then it, you know, as the years went, it really progressed, and I really, really felt like I was crazy and that I was having these experiences. And like I was talking about my papa, and what's great about the book series is we call it a faction series. So it's a mix of fiction and fact. And we wanted to put something out. My friend, Lorna Scholz Nicholson, is the, she wrote it. So the story is based on my life. So we worked together to create this way of how do we reach teens, how do we reach people of all ages on how to learn about their own intuition, going through the story of, and her name is Indigo Russell, which is a.k.a. Tara Taylor. So we talk about, you know, all the experiences that I had in a way of trying to put it through a story. So we call it a 50-50 split. So, you know, my parents are really those, my parents in the book, my brother's really my brother, Indigo is really me, it was my family, where I grew up, like all the descriptions of my room, like everything that looked like, and all the intuitive experiences that I had happened. So we just kind of, the other characters that we had to kind of put in there for that sort of fiction part, and also too for, you know, privacy reasons for other people. But Lorna did an amazing job. So, you know, I'm a nonfiction writer, she's a fiction writer, so when we really came together, we created this series more to put something out to help others understand that they're not alone, that we all do have experiences. You know, we're all born with one intuitive ability. With indigos and, you know, like you had said in the beginning, indigo crystals, things like that. It's a term that we use to try to describe, you know, but in reality, every child, every person has a gift. We're all born with one. The only difference, which doesn't make anybody more special or different, it's just, you know, what makes us you know, all the same but unique at the same time, right? And what we can bring into the world is where indigos come into this is that they're highly attuned to their surroundings. So visually, I call it seeing, hearing, knowing, and feeling. And indigos definitely have more than one of those abilities, so they become more sensitive to the surroundings. And, you know, some indigos may not have the ability to see, you know, people that are deceased, but they have the ability to know things without having any fact or reason or rhyme to back it up. It's like they all have a gift of some sort, which is really quite interesting. And what I have noticed more is that they really struggle with large crowds, and like I did myself, and also dealing with high emotional situations because they absorb their surroundings like a sponge. It's like, you know, when you put a sponge in the water and they just soak everything up around them? That's right. Really what it is. So half the time what they're feeling isn't even their feelings, and they don't really know how to cope with it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah, so it's kind of the struggle if you go through this place of, you know, you really have your ego, which really dislikes everything that you do anyway about yourself. And then you're having, you know, society sometimes telling you that you're weird and you're different. So you try to do everything not to be that person. So you're constantly trying to be something you're not, and it actually makes you feel worse about yourself. So, you know, I do see that trend even going through myself and now working with teens and even adults. Like we say, indigos, I think, have always been around. You know, they talk about a big flux of indigos that came in through the 60s. I think we've always had this, but we've just in the last, I would say, you know, century, we've had more and more come through, we'll say, souls that have, you know, because you're right, they're coming here to make a change and make a difference because, you know, we're not, you know, we are evolving quite fast, and we really need to make some changes in the world, and that's really where these lovely souls are coming in, and even the ones now coming in are even more attuned, and I think every generation is becoming more and more and more into. Now they're born with three or four. So for me, it was seeing and hearing. That was two. But yeah, it's amazing how I'm seeing more and more little ones come in that have more and more of the intuitive abilities, and it just comes so naturally to them.
Right, exactly. And in fact, you know, recently, you know, one of my kids that I mentor, I was taught a technique to kind of just close off the astral connection when I didn't really need it because I've trained in this. I'm not indigo, but I've trained in it, so of course I can be very sensitive when I want to be because I'm a healer.
Of course,
so, but when I go to shopping, you know, at the grocery shopping, I really, really don't want to feel the ghosts and entities and whatever's there. You know, I just really don't want to feel. So I, you know, just close off that connection, and so I can happily go into Hannaford's and do shopping and feel completely fine and not feel like I have to do something everywhere I go, you know.
That's right.
I was teaching her this, and it was working, but then suddenly it didn't work. And what we found out through, you know, intuitive knowing, I suppose, is that Mother Earth was calling for help. And she calls me for help too, but I guess I don't have this contract that says I got to do it whenever she wants me to do it. So I can say turn it off until I have time, you know, turn it off. And then when I'm ready, I'm like, okay, Mom, what do you need? And then I'll do whatever, you know, she wants me to do. But in this case, this little one couldn't really turn it off, and we figured out that Mom needed her and needed her right now, and until she completed her task was not going to, you know, get her out of it. And so she already intuitively knew what she needed to do. Now, I muscle tested what she needed to do, but she had already created, you know, started creating the prayer that Mom wanted her to say. I mean, I was trying to figure it out, like, which prayer was it? Like, well, can I find it on the internet, you know? But this kid already made one up. She goes, oh, I made up a prayer this, you know, yesterday. And I'm like, what? You didn't tell me this, you know? And so that was it. And she just had to, you know, say it X amount of times, and that was it. And she started feeling better right away. And it was just so amazing how, and this has happened over and over again with the kids, is like they already kind of know, you know?
That's right.
What they need to do. But it's like, I'm kind of like outside validation, you know? And so it is truly amazing to me, first of all, the role that the indigo crystals have to play, and just how, you know, that sometimes I really feel like I really don't want to go into public because they can get so overwhelmed.
Well, and that's the thing, they don't really understand. And I remember being younger too. It's like, I don't understand why people just all can't get along. Why can't we just hug it out?
Right.
You know, and it's like, we just don't understand it. And, you know, I really use the analogy of talking with people about, you know, indigos have the understanding. It's like, why can't we just talk over the fence? Like, I love your differences. Why can't we just be different and love that about each other? They don't understand yelling and anger, and they have a hard time. They break down. You know, they literally get into a ball and they start shaking because they don't know, or they'll start screaming to make it stop because they can't handle high volumes of anger or violence, or they just feel like everything stops in their track because they truly don't understand it. Because they don't their souls just aren't aligned with that sort of part. And that's when I come in and I talk about ego. So my biggest concern when working with indigos and going through this for myself and crystal children and working with the parents too, and I mean some parents, you know, either they have one of them is an indigo, or you know, or neither parents are, you know, they have their own intuitive abilities, but at the same point, you know, it's great because I have these either different fathers and moms come in, they go, I don't know about this, and then the next thing you know, they're completely into their intuition, you know, and we're talking people that are lawyers and, you know, just different, you know, that would say, oh gosh, I don't know about this, right? But it really transforms their lives, and seeing that their child is, you know, not only brings out their gift in them, but there's a gift for them. And, you know, it's just such a beautiful, inspiring that, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, it's when I'm working with them, I really get in the concept of really teaching the indigos, what is ego? Because I think they go, oh, no, that's bad. I don't like bad thoughts. I can't have bad thoughts. But when I teach them that ego necessarily isn't that bad, and it really is your gateway to your intuition, one must understand your ego voice before. I call that, depending on the age of the child and or the parent, I talk at the not-so-nice voice that we have inside. But and really talking about it to have them understand it in simpler terms. Is that all it is to do is just give you the opposite of your intuition. It's meant to give you free will so that you have choice, and that we've grown it to be much bigger than it was ever intended to be. So knowing this, we can actually you know, unprogram it and have it work with us and not against us. And the key is just not listening to that part. I mean, you listen to it, you acknowledge it for doing its purpose, which is just to give you the opposite of what your truth is, and then you choose your higher self. But I find that, of course, the struggle comes with, well, I don't know the difference. Like, I'm having this mean voice, and I have this other voice, and I don't know what is what. So I did this exercise with them about, I call them junk journals. So what it is every night before they go to bed, they can do it with mom or dad, or even adults. Adults do it too. We're all big kids at the end of the day. It's a journal that's always going to stay blank. So there's going to always just have, you know, pages ripped out of it. And, you know, you can title it at the beginning, junk journal, wherever you want. So you're going to write out all the random thoughts, because you have constantly fleeting thoughts and fixed beliefs and all things that come through us because of, you know, where we are, our surroundings, all those sort of things. Doesn't mean it's our truth. And we just write out anything, all the thoughts that we don't like. We write them all out. And then what we do is we rip them out of the journal, and then we rip them up and we throw them out. And I say we're sending it back to nothingness is where it came from. So when they understand that simplicity of it, then they're able to feel like they're in control, where they can go out into public, they can go into places that, you know, these emotions, they just come and go, but it doesn't mean it's who you truly are. And then the ones that really are, the emotions that really do stick, is really about who you, you know, what your soul wants and what you want to do. And then like this beautiful little one that you were working with, you know, said, like, I already knew what my prayer was, you know. So the being able to filter through the thoughts is the biggest way for them to understand and really utilize the intuitive gifts that they receive. You know, I would tell people we receive a minimum of 500 messages a day, minimum. But because we're so sensory overload, we are not paying attention.
Right.
So that's really, and that's where it's just like, one, for you were talking about, you know, definitely you're what we call a feeler, right? So you feel everything around you. I mean, that's your greatest gift. So for you, an example, you know, doing some junk journaling would be great, because I find with a lot of feelers, that's kind of what that amazing energy is, that once we just remove half of the stuff of what you experience, and I'm sure, I know intuitively you're already kind of set, but it's amazing that, you know, how much we absorb in our surroundings and we don't realize it until a few days later, and this is where the sickness comes in. When I was really little, I started having stomach problems. Now, I'm a seer and a hearer. I'm not a feeler naturally. So I would start to all of a sudden not feel good and have, you know, digestion issues. And, you know, at a young age, I think it was 12 or 13, I started having ulcers. I mean,
wow.
I wasn't eating candy every day. It just wasn't, just amazing things. And it wasn't until about years later that I figured, well, I was able to figure out working with my own doctor and stuff, is that I was absorbing energy and not knowing I was doing it, and I was holding on to it. And it was manifesting itself in so many ways. And as I got into university, I ended up with full-blown ulcerative colitis. Now, what's in, like, an ulcer in my system, and it was because I was constantly fighting these emotions and not dealing with them, and just, you know, I didn't want to listen to that voice. I didn't like that mean voice. I just didn't ignore it. But what I was doing is I was pushing it. And then I started seeing a trend with all these other little indigos with myself as I've grown, and I've looked back, and I thought, isn't that interesting? You know, we all have digestive issues. We all have food sensitivities. We all have, it's because we are not able to filter out properly, so we had to figure out ways. So, I, you know, when we work with doing the junk journal and being aware of the thoughts and working alongside the ego, just not taking advice, the body completely healed. And that's what's amazing is that I avoided surgery. Like, they wanted to remove half of my bowel, and I said, absolutely not. So I started doing that work on myself, and it completely all cleared up. I mean, the doctors were saying, it's a miracle. I said, no. I said, no. It's just, you know, you ask for divine guidance, and that's what happens. They gave me what I needed to do.
Oh, that is so interesting, because I think my, biggest physical struggle since developing and deepening, you know, my gifts and, you know, ability to feel and clear, you know, negative energy from other people and that kind of stuff, checking in on myself, is that every time I get, you know, a deeper aspect of the gift is that I put on weight on my belly and I can have these periods of food sensitivities. So it's exactly what you were talking about. And so what you're saying is that for you personally, which may be very relevant to me, is that challenge or difficulty filtering out, like, what's mine, what's not mine, and,
that's,
you know,
right,
being able to hold that boundary? I mean, am I paraphrasing that right? Or maybe you can
You got it right.
It.
And it's realizing, it's like we are constantly, and especially for feelers more than seers and hearers, but definitely feelers, you're constantly absorbing your surroundings, even if you are conscious of it or not. And the interesting thing is that you're absorbing that. We're energy, right? Naturally, it's like
right.
the most amazing thing about it. And this is the science behind it, right? We plugged in a body, which is kind of morbid to think about it, but if you really, you know, it's quite an interesting thought. If we plugged in one body, it could light up a whole city. That's how much energy is in a body. So
right.
knowing that we're energy means we absorb and release energy. So when we're in surroundings, so if we're around somebody who may be upset or down or whatever, it's not about saying, oh, I can't help you because I can't absorb your energy. It's about creating those boundaries. It's about doing the junk journaling. It's about not taking on energy, not taking on things that aren't ours, taking on fixed beliefs that we know deep down aren't ours. Because when we start thinking and then absorbing and then trying to become something or feel like, well, that must be me. But in reality, we know our truth. We just become so bombarded with all these emotions around us, and especially with kids in the school system, and this is something I work with a lot of teachers too as well, and really having, you know, them understand the concept of energetic boundaries and how to properly, you know, get the best out of the sensitive child versus having them shut down and break down, and then all of a sudden they have all these illnesses that start popping up out of nowhere because they, you know, they call them introverts. I said, no, it's not that they're introverts, it's just they feel overwhelmed energetically and they literally numb out because they cannot take on anymore. So we have to really work with that to open them up so that they feel safe and secure and don't feel that heavy sickness of all this energy coming on them, because they really, as we know about indigos, do not deal well with authority because they don't understand it. Again, that coming from a place of one being better than the other. Indigos really think in the concept of we, not me. They really want to think of a community. So, you know, when they have that sort of, you know, student versus teacher or, you know, all those sort of things, they have a hard time understanding that, and they think, okay, well, you're going to have to earn my respect for me to really trust or believe in you. And because they start to protect themselves as they grow, they're completely innocent in the beginning, like all children are. And then when they start to get that, like, bad taste in their mouth or bad, they start to really go inwards because they're afraid of not only, you know, being hurt, but also feel like they need to protect themselves from the outside surroundings, because how it makes them feel is so awful that all they can do is just want to cocoon.
Right.
And they just don't understand
right.
it. Yeah.
Right. So you're saying that one of the key exercises that you have them do, whether they're, you know, old enough to or young enough to have their mom and dads help them with that, or old enough to do it themselves, is this junk journal where they kind of express all that kind of stuff that they're feeling, seeing, hearing, and then rip
right.
it up and put it, you know,
and rip it up and throw it out, because it
right.
all it is it's just nothingness. It comes through, and that's kind of the simplest way to do it. And I don't really discuss that in the book. But in the book, when you read through the series, I talk about, you know, surrounding yourself in white light. We go into the concept of working with rose quartz, different types of crystals. And this is what I say to people, you know, crystals are an amazing modality and tool. They work with other things. So it's important to work with your crystals, but also continue working with your doctor too. I mean, everything has a balance, right? Everything goes hand in hand. And sometimes they'll find that they'll say, oh, no, I'm going to go all the way this way, or just focus on the crystals, but I'm not going to deal with it if I have a strep throat or something. I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to work with crystals. But we need to work together, and that's the whole point. It's about, you know, coming together and finding balance with it and working with both. So, you know, we talk about in the series too. And at the back, when you read the whole story, we do a Q&A. So Lauren and I talk about, you know, ways on why Indigo had this experience and how you can help yourself. And we talk about smudging. We talk about, you know, certain things not to use when working and how to increase your intuitive ability. So it's really for anybody who wants to work on their intuition and on top of parents and teens. And that's really what it's for and how to work together with it. But I do find the junk journaling has been, God, I've been using this for about 10 years now with my clients, and I see the best success with that, along with the other little modalities, like I said, surrounding yourself in white light, and, you know, taking Epsom salts baths, things like that, to really calm the energy of the body, knowing that we are in a body, so we must remember it's a machine, and at the same point, the soul is, you know, the soul's inside, so it's the body's casing the soul, so we have to work with the body and the soul, so that it can find its balance and alignment.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I just,
now that's a lot of heavy stuff
for
little
said,
ones, but we explain it easier when the little ones are up. Yeah, yeah.
Well, when you said the thing about crystals, you know, all the boys, you know, the boys in my little group, you know, they love rocks and crystals. It's so funny.
Yes.
You should see our mantle above the television, because my husband's an indigo, and and he remembers very young being able to, you know, see things that other people can't see, move, you know, simple objects that other people, you know, that him and his sister would play these little, you know, object moving games. But anyway, he's got tons of rocks and crystals and essential oils, and, you know, it's just, you know, and I haven't seen, you know, so many, like, you know, teenage boys in the early, you know, 20s so into rocks and crystals. It's the cutest, funniest thing to me, you know, these boys, you know.
And it's so lovely, but, you know, remember, and, you know, I always kind of giggle about this, because I remember, if we look back, in the generations, like I think of my parents and my grandparents, you know what was really big was marbles.
Yes.
And they used to play marbles. Isn't that funny? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it was always like kids really wanted, because we are naturally, so, you know, before we had artificial light and electricity, we would use crystals. I mean, even we still have crystals in watches now. We still use them. So we know this as an ancient science. And because our souls are everlasting and they keep going, and, you know, people, if they believe in reincarnation or not, the reality is it happens. And that's why, and, you know, it's so funny, you walk in my house, there's crystals everywhere. And it's more because they work as energy for us. They hone energy, and they're an absorbent like we are. So, you know, it's important to clean your crystals, like put them in Epsom salts and sea salts for at least, you know, a few hours. I say every Sunday, like make one day that you're going to clean them, because they will absorb energy and they can get blocked too. So you want to, you know, be gentle with your crystals and show them, you know, that you take care of them as well, because they need to be cleansed just like we need to be cleansed. Like, we need to wash, so do the crystals. So that's the beauty behind it too, and they'll always work for you. And that's why we're attracted to certain crystals, and at sometimes in our lives, and sometimes we're attracted to other ones, and because they really, we do have this beautiful, natural energy connection with them, because they come from the earth. And, you know, in so many ways, you know, we're so connected to that. And it's like, you know, earth, wind, fire, and water, right? They're part of the elements, just like we are. Our physical body is.
Right.
Isn't that fascinating? Like, we come from water. We're water. We're half, you know, I think it's, what are we, like 80% water or
60 or 70% water.
Water,
something
there it
like
is.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. So exactly. Isn't that funny? It's like, of course, because it seems like it's part of who we are naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
we use
and,
it as
and,
our energy.
And, you know, I mean, sometimes the kids are kind of relieved when I share with them their indigo nature, and they're like, okay, I'm not crazy. There's more people like me. And, you know, and then we start working and honing their skill set, and so they can manage, you know, the energy better. And, but there, you know, there's a few that just like, it's like, I didn't really, it's like, oh, I don't really, I just want to be normal. You know how you said earlier?
Yep.
Like, I just want to be normal.
And I went through that.
And that's really hard because they're like, well, I don't think I believe you that whatever, you know, dark spirits exist or ghosts exist or, you know, I don't really want to talk about that. You know, I just want to be normal. And that's really, that's kind of challenging. And even if the parents are on board, which is kind of cool.
That's right.
How do you kind of handle that scenario? Whether they are getting overwhelmed, they are having problems, but they just don't, they just want to ignore that they have these sensitivities.
You know, the beautiful thing is because I was that child. I'm a Taurus, so I'm as stubborn as they come. And I was the one that was like, no, I just want to be normal. I want to do anything with this. And I would avoid it, even though it was coming at me with a vengeance, you know, in a positive way. I was pushing back. I was pushing back the grain because I just want to have a normal teenage life. I don't want, like, I already think I'm weird enough. I don't want everybody else to think I'm weird, right? So,
right.
You know, the more that you deny yourself of who you are, the more that you, you know, really come to that dark place. And I think with a lot of these kids, and this is where, you know, indigos are notorious for having addictive behaviors because we are so
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, we are notorious for being, and it could be anything from being obsessed about your homework or grades, or being you know, alcohol, drugs, or anything like a food. Like, we will find something to fill that void because we are so sensitive in our surroundings. And so the more that we dislike ourselves, the more we try to fill ourselves to numb ourselves out because we just don't want to feel, see, hear, or know anything anymore. Right? We just want to be, you know, like walk around the earth kind of zombie-like, like we think everybody else is. And I think, you know, the best way to deal with this is starting the communication. Like, I mean, talk about stubborn. I mean, I would cross my arms walking and be like, okay, yeah. Like, what is this going to tell me? Like, you guys are all crazy, right? Like, no way. Like, I remember when my mom, when I was in my, I think late in my, and in the book, I talk about my mentor, Cindy, who came into my life that changed everything for me to really help me embrace what was going on. You know, I remember sitting there and she says, oh, well, she's, I don't know what you call them. She says, like a medium or something. And, you know, Tara, you know, you really need some help. And we've tried everything. I'm like, no. So I remember sitting there being stubborn and going in and saying, no way am I going to see this lady. What is she going to tell me? You know, I mean, blew my socks off, you know, and that was really, everything happens for a reason. So working with the teens is trying to speak with them in a way that's palatable. So that's why I talk about the junk journal. Like with the ones that are extremely open, it's easy. We can talk about angels, crystals, like we can get right, dive into it. The other ones, we have to do baby steps. And the way to go about that is not talking about, you know, because it scares them, because their greatest fear is to be rejected. Their greatest fear is not to be a part of the collective group of people that they think are normal. So we have to somehow get in there and find certain ways and tools. So this is why, like, I talk about junk journaling and talking about it in the way of, let's talk about being sensitive versus being intuitive. Oh, well, what does sensitivity mean? Oh, it just means that, you know, that light or large crowds, and we talk more scientifically about energy, and we get into more like metaphysics versus the spiritual part, and then they grow into learning that about themselves and really like the old saying goes, you don't tell an indigo what to do, you make suggestions, let them sit with it, and then they think to themselves that they figured it out. They need to feel like they're in control. Does this make sense?
Yes.
They have to feel like they've come up with the answers themselves because they honestly think, and God love them, that they know better than everybody else. In some ways they do, but see, they forget they have an ego. So they don't understand that sometimes the messages they're receiving are not in their best interests, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really where we have to make them think that it was their idea. It was also something that is in the most simplest terms. Like I said, talk about just the concept of energy. Get scientific with them. Talk about how other people are sensitive. Make them feel like they're part of the group, like mom and dad or their peers, and saying, oh, yeah, so your friend's a really good artist. That means they're visual. Oh, cool. Okay, so that means they're what we call a seer. Okay, well, what does that mean? And you get in those conversations. They need to be slowly spoken to, and they will crack. They will eventually crack an egg and they'll open up. They just have to see the commonalities so that they don't feel so different. That's what it is. And then once you get them in, they're open. They'll just poof, the flood. They trust you, they respect you, and the doors will fly open and they'll, you know, that will be loyalty for the rest of your life. That's how they are.
Oh, that is very cool. Wow. That's amazing. That is so helpful, Tara. Thank you so much.
Good. I'm glad. Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh, I know it. Like I said, I was one of those.
Well, good, and I'm glad, you know, just from your personal experience, that is so helpful, and I can't believe, you know, our time is up. I was like, I want to talk to you for another half hour. But so your website, Tara, is www.taratayloca.ca. And,
yes.
You know, do you have, you know, some courses or, you know, do you do one-on-one, you know, Skype consults? How does it work?
Yes, I do. I do. I have an office in Calgary as well. And I work with people all over the world, so I've got clients internationally, and so I do Skype, and I do phone, and I've got courses on, so I've got one called Master Intuition in 7 days. Now, it doesn't actually mean you have to do it in 7 days, but it's a download, and it goes every hour, so it goes the concept of 1 hour of ego, 1 hour of seeing, 1 hour of hearing, feeling, knowing. So it goes in through all the steps to have you really work through your greatest gift and hone in what is your strongest, and then you can be able to filter into the other ones. Now, this sort of course, you know, I do with people that have been really working on their intuition for quite some time. But when I work with teens and I work with families and even small children, I mean, I have three-year-olds that come in and see me with their parents. You know, those are sort of the Skype calls I would start first. But you know what? First and foremost, the book series is actually probably the greatest introduction in a way that will help parents and teens understand themselves and also help to work together. We really put some really great tools in there, and that's really why we create, like, how do we put something out there that kind of put it under the radar? Because if you bring a book that says how to help your teen with your intuition, or, you know, or teen says teen intuition, they're going to say, a soul like me, an indigo with that kind of thinks they're tough, would be like, I'm not reading that, right? But we did it in a way, like, if it's a Hunger Games or something like that, we made it more that way so that they can go, oh, okay, I'm not crazy. Okay, this is cool. And that's the feedback we wanted, and that's what we were, and that's kind of where we were directed to go with that. And that came from the divine. The title was said to me. I woke up in the morning and I heard this loud male voice in my ear who wasn't actually in the room. It was just a divine that said, through Indigo's eyes, and I wrote it down. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to do with this, and it just all unfolded. We were literally directed with this book.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
spiritually.
Of course.
Yeah, it wasn't something,
right?
It was just kind of, it unfolded the way it did. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, well, Tara, thank you so much for being on the show today. We learned a lot. Great series of books. Congratulations. And I really was praying for something like this for my kids that I mentor. And then I came across it and I went, thank you. and my youngest one immediately went out and got them, and so she's definitely, you know, she really enjoys them and is really getting something out of them. So thank you so much again. And
oh, I'm so pleased. And really, it's more the book than the people, and I'm really happy that it's working for others, because, you know, at the end of the day, sure, the series is based on my life, but it's not really about me. It's the bigger story for all of us going through these experiences, and it was truly guided. And so I'm very humbled by that. But really, they're the boss at the end of the day. They tell us how to put it out there to help people. And, no, it's been an absolute honor, Dr. Karen, and thank you for having me. You are such a bright light in helping all these wonderful people and everything that you do with your holistic care, and keep up the good work, my dear. You're a bright light in the world that needs it.
Ah, thank you. Likewise. And thanks, everyone, for listening to the show today. Until next time, take care. Bye.